Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our meditation this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Thus far, God's holy word. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, who reigns victorious over death and the grave, through whom we receive grace to sustain us till the end, dear fellow redeemed. Just a few days ago, we celebrated the anniversary of the birth of our nation. July 4th is a day in which we recognize and remember the dedicated men and women who fought and sacrificed so much to create the freedoms we enjoy today. Have you ever read what happened to the original writer, the 56 men who signed their name to the Declaration of Independence? Of the 56 original signers, 9 of them died from wounds suffered throughout the war. 5 were captured or imprisoned, and their wives and children were killed, jailed, mistreated, or left penniless. 12 had their houses burned to the ground, and 17 lost everything that they owned. These men signed up to fight a battle that no one thought they could win. They were up against the greatest empire in the world, and yet they were able to overcome. Why? Because their strength was not in just one man. It came from the nation banding together. It came from allies like the French army providing supplies and strategy. Their combined strength caught the British off guard and allowed them to overcome some insurmountable odds. The British saw them as weak, but in reality, they were strong. You and I are likewise engaged in warfare that is way over our own heads. Our fight is not against a world empire, but the empire of Satan. And it is a war that we are woefully outnumbered, outgunned, and outclassed. This fight is even more lopsided than what the founding fathers faced in their fight for independence. Left to our own, it is impossible for us to win. But in our text today, Paul gives us a key to overcoming our adversaries, an unexpected source of strength. It is unexpected because It is reliant on the absence of our own strength and wholly dependent on the strength of the grace of God. In 2 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12, Paul is addressing attacks that were being made against him from within the Corinthian congregation. These attacks were concerning his qualifications to be an apostle and to even be in the ministry in general. In Acts chapter 1, when the disciples were looking to replace Judas Iscariot, the criteria for an apostle included someone who had been with them since the baptism of John the Baptist, until the day that Jesus was taken up from them, and who had been a witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Obviously, Paul didn't fit this criteria, as he was not with the original disciples during Jesus' earthly ministry. In fact, he even persecuted the church, not helped it. Therefore, in some eyes, he had no right to the claim of an apostle. But in response, Paul says, I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Paul makes a clear distinction about what he is going to talk about. He knows that there is nothing to be gained by boasting of his own accolades. In fact, in another book of the Bible, he speaks against selfish boasting. Rather, he will boast about that which the Lord has done for him. 14 years prior, Paul was a man caught up into the third heaven. We are not told exactly what or where that was, but he saw heaven. And even Paul didn't know whether it was an experience in his body, he was physically there, or whether it was out of the body, like a dream. But that wasn't important. Those details are for God to know. The point Paul was making by bringing this up is that he was a witness to the resurrected Christ. He was chosen specifically by Jesus and was given visions and revelations that man cannot come up with. It is this work of God that Paul will go on boasting about. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. There was anyone who had a right to boast about the things that he had accomplished, the words that he had preached, the churches he had started, it would be Paul. He's the author of the majority of the books in the New Testament. And yet Paul does not want people's focus to be on him, nor their reliance to be on a frail human being as he is. He continually points them to the Word of God that he brought to them. He credits different afflictions that he endured as a means to keep him humble, one of which was a thorn in the flesh. There's a lot of speculation about what this might be, but what we do know is that it affected Paul about how he could preach, and what he thought he could accomplish without it. And the second is a messenger from Satan to harass him. Similar to the thorn of the flesh, we are not given exactly what this is. But Satan does mean accuser. And it could be that Satan or one of his demons hounded Paul, constantly reminding him of some great sin, maybe the sin of persecuting the church, and how that was too great for God to forgive. In truth, this was Paul's greatest adversary, Satan. It wasn't the shipwrecks, not the Roman government, not the Jews or Gentiles who reviled him and wanted to kill him, but Satan. Because Satan attacked him every single day. And it was a two-pronged attack. On the one hand, he could tempt Paul to indulge in his pride. How great he was. All the accolades that he had accomplished. But on the other hand, he would absolutely beat Paul down with the guilt over his sin and how even God's grace wasn't great enough for what he did. We often find ourselves at the same crossroads, don't we? I don't know about you, but I'm not even half the man that the Apostle Paul was. And yet Satan still brings that temptation that appeals to my pride and yours. This temptation goes back to the very beginning with Adam and Eve. He got Eve to think more of herself rather than what the Word of God had declared to her. Even for us, it could come in a number of different ways. But maybe pride isn't high on Satan's radar for you, but guilt is. Has he come hounding you over a sin that you just can't get past? Some sin that you might still be stuck in right now. Or maybe a sin that has happened long ago, but it haunts you to this day. Regardless, Satan's message to you is the same. Your sin is too great to be covered by God. You do not qualify to be a Christian. It is a battle that is all too common for each of us. It is a battle that we lose time and time again. Paul desperately wanted to be rid of these ailments. He wanted them gone so that he could better serve God's kingdom. 3 times, Paul prayed to the Lord to take it away. But God's response was in reality Paul's greatest source of strength. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." A paradox, to say the least. God's power is made perfect in weakness. When in the history of the world has anyone been their strongest when they are weak? Never. And yet God says it, and here's why. Whether it is Paul or you or myself, we are all weak, sinful human beings. We do not deserve the very breath that comes into our lungs on a daily basis. We succumb to temptation every day. We test God every day. But every day, God calls you back with His grace, His undeserved love. He reminded Paul, and He reminds you, that it has nothing to do with how strong we are, or how strong we think we are. but it has everything to do with how strong he is and what he has already accomplished for you in dying on the cross for your sins. This is the beauty of it all. As often as we stumble and fall, God's power shines through. It forces us to realize that we are completely reliant upon the grace of our God, the love that he has for us, and for his strength to sustain us. In other words, when we are at our weakest, we are reminded that God is shown to never falter as our strength to help in time of need. For Paul, this meant that he would be content in whatever situation he found himself in. Whether it was being challenged over what he taught, whether he was rejected, shipwrecked, jail, or even death. In all these things, he could be content. Because it wasn't about how strong he was, rather about the complete power of God's grace. And the same is true for you. The uphill battles, the obstacles, the afflictions, the calamities that enter into your life. In all these things, you can find contentment. Because your strength rests in the power of your God. Remember the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence and all that they had to suffer? I'm sure if you were to ask them, every single one would say that they would do it all over again. The challenges that you face on a daily basis are much greater than what those men faced. You are facing an enemy that you cannot see, who knows your every weakness, and who will stop at nothing to rip you away from the record of God's book of life. What your enemy does not know, however, is that it doesn't matter how strong we are, because we stand in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand on the fact that every single sin has been wiped clean from your record. We stand spotless in Jesus. And so standing in God's grace, you too can be like Paul. You can be content with whatever life throws at you. Because when you are weak, then you are strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.